You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. When Christians Speak Talk Radio is a nonprofit ministry. We are dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus through our programs and special guests. We exist through the generous support of our listeners. If you are being blessed through this ministry and would like to give a love offering, go to our website and click on our donation page. Your donation will be processed through PayPal. Our prayer is that you may prosper, be in good health, even as your soul prospers. Unto the Lord, for He is
good. Yes, He is good. As a 501c3 nonprofit ministry, all of your gifts are tax deductible. So go out to our website, www.whenchristianspeak.com. God bless you.
Listen to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio on Blog Talk Radio, iHeartRadio, Spreaker.com. All of our broadcasts are available as podcasts through SoundCloud, YouTube, iTunes, Blueberry.com, Zoom.com, Stitcher.com, Lisbon.com, and BlogTalkRadio.com. To listen to our broadcast by phone, dial 646-478-0660. Again, that number is 646-478-0660. Go visit and like our Facebook page, When Christians Speak Talk Radio. Also be sure to check out Christians Against Suicide and Depression. It's a page dedicated to sharing God's love, encouragement, and hope. There are prayer warriors standing by to receive prayer requests, doing intercession for those under attack by the lie and deception of the devil. We know that the devil came to steal, kill, and destroy, but praise God, Jesus came to set the captives free.
Praise the Lord, and here we are again on a wonderful Thursday afternoon. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to Declaring the Finished Work. I'm your host, Pat Randall, and I am excited about actually continuing on a podcast series entitled Be. The last two broadcasts, I interjected two messages entitled Love Conversion from 2016. I just felt led to share those two messages on love. So I hope that you had an opportunity to listen to it. And so now I'm getting back on this journey that I'm on being, learning how to be. That is, it's such a powerful journey. And it's one that it takes some time to get to a place where it begins to register in your consciousness about what being really means. You know, when Paul said, we live and move and have our being, and being able to really fully begin to not fully understand it, but just at least begin to really understand what it means to be able to live and move and have your being in Him. And you begin to realize that it is also a place of rest. And even though it's a place of rest, it's also a place of power. It's a place of knowing that you are loved in a way that you'll never really quite understand until you're face to face with our Lord. But it is a journey worth taking. So before we begin, I am going to say a quick prayer and then we'll just get started. Father, we praise you and glorify your name this day and just give thanks. We have grateful hearts. No matter what we're going through, no matter what is confronting us, we're grateful because we know that you are with us and that you will never leave us. That you will give us the power to be able to and the strength to be able to stand in uncertain times, knowing that you have us and that you love us and that we can trust in you and that you are the one thing, the one person that we can rely on that will never change, never change. You're the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And we give thanks. Bless this time that we have together, breaking this bread, which is life to us, this bread that you give us through your word. And we thank you for it. And it's in Christ Jesus' name that I pray. Amen and amen. So let's see how well I get through this. This is actually considered part 7. So far I've done 6 episodes, podcast episodes, on this title B. So this is part 7. So I'm going to just do a quick review, of part 6. I just actually want to focus on one, particular thought that I was sharing in part 6. And it was about just an observation of current times and how people have been so willing to believe these nonsensical prophecies, and that we accept them because we're looking at man and we're looking at his accomplishments, and so we believe that his prophecy is unfailing, but it's a man that's prophesying. And so you have to process prophecy through the mind of God. And the closer you are to God, the closer you are in your understanding of who his son is, because in the last days he spoke through his son, the closer you are And the intimacy that you have established with him, you begin to process anything that you hear from man through this relationship that you have with him. And if it doesn't line up with the character of God, then you definitely need to question. You cannot look at man and what he has accomplished to validate his ability to always be right when he's prophesying, okay? Because we all sin and fall short. There's not any of us that will not fall short. And I'm including myself. And I always like to encourage you to seek God's truth for yourself. Even though I'm here to encourage you and share what God has given me through not just study, a lot of my greatest breakthroughs have come through the experience. There is great value in studying his word and knowing his word, but it is only through the experience that you are able to really comprehend what this word, the word of God, is speaking and have a clearer view of the heart of God and the mind of God. It's through that experience. So you need to experience the word of God not just know it, but experience it in your life. It has to become something that's living and breathing in your life. And sometimes the process is painful because you have to process through emotions and fears and doubts. But it is so worth it because God is holding your hand every step of the way as you go through it. So you're never going through it alone. And the things that you have to face that can be painful are definitely less painful when you have someone with you to shoulder that weight with you and to encourage you and strengthen you as you go through it. Amen. So as back to this nonsensical prophecies that I've heard, one of the examples I used in lesson six, I spoke of this prophecy about Trump having a second term. And of course, that didn't come to pass after the November elections, but then the prophets who spoke this came back and they retweaked it, their prophecy, and said it was contingent on him. Some said it was contingent on him repenting, and others were just pushing the timeline back and saying that on such and such a date, this is going to happen, but he is going to have the second term. And then when it doesn't come to pass on that date, then there's another date. You know, it's that kind of thing. But when we accept that kind of thinking, then we are saying that God is limited. When we know that God is all knowing, so he already knew what the outcome of the election was going to be in November, right? So there would be no need to walk back a prophecy or continually altering the timeline for the occurrence of this prophecy coming to pass, because we all know that God is not the author of confusion. And there has been a lot of confusion surrounding this whole prophecy concerning our former President Trump, right? But you really need to know the heart of God. And his heart is a heart of love. And he has spoken to us, as I said earlier, he has spoken to us in these last days through his son. Really look at the life of Christ. And if what you're hearing and seeing is not reflecting anything that Jesus has taught us, then I would disregard it. Amen. So this week, which is part seven, I am going to be talking about being one. So we're learning how to be. We're learning how to live, move, and have our being in Christ. We're learning how to strip away those things that have been laid upon our identity by others and also by ourselves to make us feel better about who we are. So we accumulate certain things, accomplishments that make us feel good about ourselves, but that's really not who we are. Our IQ is not who we are. Our jobs and the kinds of clothes that we wear and where we live and the people we know, that's not who we truly are. So we want to get down to the core of who we are. So I'm going to read this scripture from Ephesians, and it's chapter 4. And I'm reading from verses 13 through 16, and this is out of the Amplified Bible. Until we all reach oneness in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, growing spiritually to become a mature believer, reaching to the measure of the fullness of Christ, manifesting his spiritual completeness and exercising our spiritual gifts in unity, so that we are no longer children, spiritually immature, tossed back and forth like ships on a stormy sea and carried about by every wind of shifting doctrine, by the cunning and trickery of unscrupulous men, by the deceitful scheming of people ready to do anything for personal profit, but speaking the truth in love in all things, both our speech and our lives expressing His truth. Let us grow up in all things into Him, following His example, who is the head, Christ. From Him, the whole body, the church in all its various parts, joined and knitted firmly together by what every joint supplies. When each part is working properly, it causes the body to grow and mature, building itself up in unselfish love. I just want to read verse 13 again, but out of the Message Bible. It says, until we're all moving rhythmically and easily with each other, efficient and graceful in response to God's Son, fully mature adults, fully developed within and without, fully alive like Christ. Amen. So what I have, I'm always saying, so I'm trying to get away from that. But anyway, what I have observed in being one is that for the most part in the body of Christ, being one for us means that we are believing the same things and we're having the same practices of faith, right? Now, the scripture above is showing us that doctrine can change. It talks about shifting doctrine, right? So if you've been around for a while, like I have, you have seen the changes in doctrine, in church doctrine. Doctrines change because people change, the times change, the culture changes. Doctrine will shift based on man's perspective, his revelation, and his interpretation or understanding of the scripture. Now, God's truth, it does not change, and it stands forever. Jesus brought us truth. In fact, He says that He is the truth. Amen. We who are still growing in our knowledge of truth or in our knowledge of Jesus, we can be so arrogant about what we teach and prophesy when we only see in part. Even though Jesus was the truth, He remained humble. He knew he was the truth, or He is the truth. But He was not arrogant. He remained humble. But we can become so arrogant and so sure about what we're prophesying and what we're teaching to the point that we are pointing fingers at others and saying that what they're teaching is incorrect, or what they're teaching is wrong, when we ourselves are only teaching in part. And our confidence should not be in the part that we can see. Our confidence needs to be in God Himself, not in our knowledge, because our knowledge is going to be limited. Our understanding is going to be limited. But just because it's limited doesn't mean that it should not continue to grow. Our knowledge and our understanding should be expanding. Expanding because we are dealing with a God who is infinite. There's no end to Him. He's past finding out. So we need to remain humble, understanding that we are still growing in our knowledge of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. We have to remember that, you know, tongues will cease and prophecy and even knowledge will pass away. This is in the scriptures. Let me read from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 8 through 12. It says, love never ends. Love never ends. There's no end to it. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. Can you imagine that? Knowledge passing away, prophecy ceasing, all right? I mean, passing away and tongues ceasing. But anyway, verse 9, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. Remember that. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. Verse 10 says, but when the perfect comes, the partial or the imperfect will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. Verse 13, which is the famous verse. So now faith, hope, and love abide. These three, but the greatest of these is love. So out of faith, hope, and love, love is the greatest. So love is greater than faith. Love is greater than hope. It never ends. It never ends. Okay, so let's talk about the unity of faith. God has connected us. Right? Sometimes we like to think that we are connecting ourselves, but God is the one who has truly connected us. On that spiritual level, on that unseen level, we are all connected. Now he wants us to become aware of this connection and begin to act as if we are connected. That's the problem that we're seeing in the world today. We act as if the things that we do is not impacting others. We don't see our connection to one another. So we feel as though we can ignore others and just do what it is that I want to do. Of just a very selfish way of perceiving things. So we need to really begin to walk in a place where we know that what we believe and what we say and what we do is touching others. Our oneness, our true oneness, our unity of faith is going to be the solution to the groaning and the travailing of all creation. They're waiting for us. But there has to be this unity of faith. Good or bad, we are all connected. Good or bad, we are all connected. This world is the sum of what man has believed, how he has spoken and acted. And as you can see, it is impacting us all. Global warming, pollution, it's impacting us all. Creation is groaning. We see more storms. We see more disease. We see famine. We see all these things. This is all the result of what man has believed, what he has spoken, how he has impacted, and how he has acted. and it has impacted all of us. We impact one another. That is why when Jesus talks about us having trials and tribulations in this world, that's why. Because we are connected in this, on this planet, we are connected. And what the things that man is doing, what others are doing, is impacting us. Even within a family can become dysfunctional or is dysfunctional because of what is going on with the members of that family in that household. It's causing it to be dysfunction, right? And so that your home life is just a small segment of a family. But we are in a larger family, which is the family of man, the family of man. That's why when God gave his son, Jesus, for the redemption of the world, he came to redeem us. He came to redeem the world. He didn't separate out and decide, I'm only going to die for this certain group. He died for everybody because he understood that what he had created was all connected. There is nothing that exists that he did not create. The problem is that we misuse man. We misuse creation. We distort it. But the good news is, until we do come into the unity of faith, and while we're encountering trials and tribulations, because we're all being impacted by a dysfunctional government or the economy, whatever, the misbehaving of people, we're all being impacted by that. But if we have a trust in God, if we're keeping our eyes on the Lord, he will cause us to overcome it, not to encounter it, but to overcome it, to rise above it into a place of victory. Okay, so let's break this unity of faith down, and let's begin by looking at unity. What is unity? Now, in Webster, it describes unity as being united as a whole, right? In the scriptures, it talks about us being the body of Christ, that we are members of this one body. But right now, the body is dysfunctional because we are divided. We are divided by doctrines and beliefs and practices, and it's called denominations. That's what it is. All these different doctrines and beliefs and practices end up becoming denominations. And the whole word denominate is to assign a name to it or to designate something. Even a becoming non-denominational has become a designation. It's just something else that separates us, that says, this is the group that I belong to, and you belong to this other group. And we have this way of thinking that my group is better than your group. Division, right? We are also the believer, those who know Christ. We have made the mistake of dividing ourselves from the people of the world because we see them as others. But we're still connected to them whether we want to acknowledge it or not. They may not be saved, but we are still connected to them because God, that is the creation. That's why all of creation is groaning and travailing, because we are all connected. And as I said before, when Christ came, he died for the world. He did not separate people out, but he died for us all. for us all. And we have to begin to recognize that connection that we have to one another. We are connected. And we also have to remember that separation is not a characteristic of God. Even when we talk about the triune Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they're one. They're all connected. They're all connected. They don't operate as if they're separate. That is, separation is not a characteristic of God. That's what we do. That's what man does, right? You know, I wanted to next start to talk about faith, but I think I will pick this up next week and in the Unity of Faith next week. I'm going to stop. What I'm trying to do is do shorter messages and to just drop some things for you to start to meditate on and to hear God and let God speak to your heart. He will speak to you and he will begin to show you these things. But first, just begin to meditate on the fact that we are all connected. We're connected. And that the things that we believe and the things that we say and the things that we do is impacting someone else. We can't live a life of separation. That is not creation. God did not create us to function separately. That's not how it works. Father, I thank you for this time that we've spent together. I thank you for your holy word, for your Holy Spirit. Thank you that we are never separated from you and that we can know this with confidence, that every day that we can walk in this, not only are we're never separated from you, we're not separated from one another. We are all connected. And I thank you that we're beginning to understand that connection and beginning to understand how important love is, because love is that main ingredient that's going to keep us connected and keep us connected in a functional way and not a dysfunctional way. Because right now, with us hating and judging and criminalizing and all the things that we do to one another and the unforgiveness and all of that, it is we're all being impacted by that because we're all connected. So I thank you that you will continue to open up the eyes of our understanding, that we begin to see more, that we begin to let go of those things that aren't even working in our lives. We do them because they're familiar and we're comfortable with it, even though it's not working. But I thank you that we can let it all go, that we can understand that and begin to see ourselves not by what we've accomplished or what we haven't accomplished, what we have or what we don't have, that we began to see that we are so much more than all of that, so much more, and that you love us so much, and that love is so unconditional. So we thank you today for this time with your word, this time with each other, and just knowing that even though I'm sitting here in my home doing this podcast, that I'm not separated from those who are listening, that our hearts are connected, that we are connected because you have connected us. And I thank you for this. And I just thank you that your word has gone forth to accomplish the very purposes for which they were sent. And I praise you And it's in Christ Jesus' name that I pray. Amen and amen. And I will remind you that tomorrow night, Friday night, is Friday Night Joy with Pastor Ray Rose, and that's 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you know what? Wait a minute. This Friday, our new broadcast starts. So it won't be Friday Night Joy, but Reverend Ray will be joining the new broadcast, which is Matters of the Heart. Amen. That's Matters of the Heart this Friday, the 21st. And it's at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. And it's a singles ministry broadcast. And the host is Pastor Maggie Wilson and Pastor Ray Rose. And they will kick off the premiere. So I'm excited about what they're doing. Amen. And we just want to reach people everywhere, no matter what state they're in. Praise God. God bless you, and thank you for spending time with me.
You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news.